The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Bill Myers.
Good morning. Find your phone Friday, 770-5633. We got a lot going on, a lot to cover, but I'm happy to talk with you about your concerns too. Join in at 770-5633. Yeah, in other words, I'm actually concerned about what you're concerned about here too. Unlike what would happen in Jackson and Josephine County if they end up getting their five county commissioners that the Democratic Party is trying to do by saying we need more democracy and things like that. So, you know, I've been talking about that. And I'm going to continue to bang that gong until we end up winning and turning back these horrible proposals. OK, but needless to say, I will care. 770-5633 or I'll pretend to care. I'll pretend to care. I used to joke with my son about that, Will. He says, "Dad, how can you get up so early in the morning?" He would always say this, and I would laugh, and I would say, "Son, you know, when you're an adult, you sometimes just have to learn how to pretend to care. And when you can pretend to care and you're able to convince everybody about it, hey, things are good." And he laughed, and he uses that now. It's funny the kind of things that'll stick in your head. And he's selling cars over in Bend now. I'll call him up every now and then and say, "You're pretending to care?" He says, "I sure am. I'm doing pretty well at it." And we have a good laugh about that. You know the way it goes. A couple of interesting good news items I wanted to bring to you here. And I don't know if you follow any financial bloggers, and I do quite a few, but there are a couple of them are my favorites. One of them is Mike Shedlock, mishtalk.com. Mish Shedlock, I guess, is his nickname. I really like a lot of the stuff that he puts out on the web. Has a lot of followers. And another one is Sean Ring of The Rude Awakening. If you just do a web search for The Rude Awakening, it may be therudeawakening.com. I don't know, but I get his newsletter. And he put something out there today that just smacked me across the face in a good way. In a good way. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, one of the best things you can do when you have the commie Marxists, the collectivists, the DEI type people, the box tickers, the ones that have been attacking and destroying society for the last, 50, 60 or more years or so, but they've been really getting crazy as of late. Every now and then, you know, you get something which is not just funny, but it's so true that I think it can actually collapse it. And this is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Diversity, equity, inclusion, which really is just anti-white racism. It's just a different kind of racism. That's all DEIS. Everything about it is racism. And, you know, diverse means not white. Equity means not white. You take a white person's job and you give it to someone else. Inclusion means that you fire white people. That's what DEI really means out there in the real world. I was starting to experience a little bit of that. My gosh, back in the, how far back was it? Could you go on something like that? The late 80s when I was working as a DJ in Seattle. I left Seattle, came back, wanted to come back, get my old job back. And they said, "Bill, we can't hire you because you're white." And I was told then, that was more than almost 40 years ago. So it's nothing new. But Sean Ring had something and he says, "I didn't come up with this, but we're starting to see this go viral." And Scott Adams, the guy who writes or does the Dilbert cartoon, who got canceled because he said things which were politically unpopular to the regime, as it were. And DEI didn't earn it. That is the best take on what DEI is really all about. DEI didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. You're ticking boxes, or we're firing one people and replacing them with other ones strictly because of color of skin. Replacing one type of racism with another type of racism, DEI didn't earn it. It is beautiful. It is going viral. And I didn't create it, but I wish I did. It made me laugh. It made me laugh, and it's true, and it's mocking. DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, didn't earn it. And I just think this is absolutely fabulous. So go ahead and take it, spread it, all right? Sean also adds in his latest newsletter. He said, "When I was in Hong Kong," I'm going to just share from this latest newsletter. "When I was in Hong Kong, I talked with a colleague from another bank. He too was a 40-something vice president and a married father of four who had no chance of promotion. And when I asked him why he thought that was, he says, well, in the West, diversity means hiring only non-white people in the jobs. In Asia, it means hiring the local talent. He knew he would never get promoted unless he left his current bank and he joined another one at the next level up. And those jobs, of course, were going to the local talent, no matter how capable they were compared to his. In essence, he was trapped. So another friend of mine, Sean Wrights, was looking for a job in London. Like me, he had a master's in finance from London Business School, decades of experience, and was a chartered accountant. And it was crickets. I asked him why he thought he couldn't get a job. He said, well, I've talked to some recruiters. And they said, we're just waiting for a stock market crash. Why? Because then we'll be able to hire white people again. That's what they were telling Sean's friend here, right? The upshot was that banks were hiring younger, more diverse, and hence cheaper talent into vice president roles rather than hiring properly experienced and more expensive directors and managing directors in the finance world. However, as banks are quasi-government entities that will always be bailed out, they don't have to follow the usual business rules of getting the right talent for the right job. Momentum takes care of much when the U.S. Treasury unconditionally backs you. Yeah, thank you, Fed. How many times we talked about that on the show? But Sean Ring had an interesting observation. And once again, not only that DEI means, you know, didn't earn it, all right, didn't earn it. But he actually said in some ways there was a really good side to the diversity, equity, and inclusion fraud that's been brought out there. He says it got good people out of their steel office towers and into entrepreneurship. Many high IQ folks, really smart people, were shaken to their core and out of their slumber by being passed over one too many times. The relentless, inescapable conclusion was, I'm never getting promoted no matter how well I do. And I can tell you, I'll never do a dance for a manager in a large corporation who's several magnitudes beneath my intelligence level. And Sean adds, I'm sure there are millions, really, who think the same way. The explosion in entrepreneurship, solopreneurship, and small business ownership attests to the fact that it's never been easier to start a business, nor will you have any excuse not to, if you've got what it takes. And quite frankly, the technology for running a business has become so intuitive that the circle of people who have what it takes has never been wider, and it keeps growing. The tricky part of running a business, what you get paid for, the organization, is almost taken care of by technology. Anyways, an interesting take on the DEI thing by Sean Ring. And he says that there's a silver lining in it and that all the people who have been not passed over or fired or let go or just kind of trapped in the situation because of didn't earn it policies, they're going out on their own. And that doesn't speak well for the major corporations, the major financial corporations that are in charge of managing money. It's something to keep in mind. But you can read that on The Rude Awakening. TheRudeAwakening.com. Pretty good stuff. Another interesting story that I thought was of positive news, and this had to do with the freedom of speech, how speech was throttled, and we talked about that a lot this week, about what happened in the Supreme Court. The Murthy case, you know, that one in which social media essentially did and bent the knee and was more than happy to suppress speech. Yes, even the truth, especially in fact, the more truthful it was when it came to COVID, the more you ended up getting throttled. And I'm going to tell you the dog in my fight that that I've had here for a number of years is that I took ivermectin through the entire COVID pandemic and still occasionally take a therapeutic, not therapeutic, but a prophylactic dose for the viral infection issue. I never got COVID. Now I'm just one guy. Maybe I'm just the luckiest jerk in the world, you know, that while everybody else that was working around and going out and partying with and everything, everybody else got sick sometime multiple times. I never got sick. Maybe I just have a super immune system, but, you know, maybe there was something to the research that was saying that ivermectin had antiviral policies or tendencies. It was a protease inhibitor, I think is the exact term that is used, that restricts the ability of a virus to reproduce. It kind of like stops it. It's sort of like an insecticide, you know, and it's not able to grow. Well, I used it all that time. A lot of other people I knew were also doing the same thing when they got it. And they got better when the hospital systems wouldn't do anything for you here in Southern Oregon. Oh, here's your oxygen tank. Have a nice day. Call me when you're dying. Well, I feel like I'm dying right now. Well, no, call me back when you're really dying. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic, but not really. All right. There's good news that the Epoch Times is reporting. EpochTimes.com. Ivermectin could be a powerful drug for fighting cancer. And here's why. And different from many conventional cancer therapies, ivermectin kills cancer cells by enhancing immune response. It builds the immune response of your body. And they had the story in this, Alderson, a retired sawmill worker who was diagnosed with terminal colon cancer in November of 2020. Excruciating pain. He was just a mess. And the gastroenterologist found a large tumor in his rectum. And told him and his wife that he only had 6 months to live. This was it, right? And to the oncologist, Alderson was a dead man walking. And Alderson's wife, Eva Alderson, told the Epoch Times that the doctors were against starting him on any treatment due to Alderson's age and how bad his cancer was. But Alderson determined that their fate was in God's hands and decided to do whatever they could. And so Mr. Alderson got started with 10 rounds of radiation, and then his cancer markers were really elevated, and a month later he started chemo, and then the cancer marker levels were really super high. And they're figuring, hey, this guy's going to be dead pretty soon. And by the time Adelson started treatment, his colon cancer had metastasized, and he had over 24 tumors. Alderson said he was off the charts, and due to concerns, now this is what happened. It was kind of like a fortunate accident for him. Due to concerns about COVID-19 and the pandemic at that time, remember this was 2020, Alderson started looking into preventative medication, and then he found ivermectin. Further research showed that the drug could likely enhance the effectiveness of his chemotherapy and the radiation therapy, and it was relatively safe. And so in February of 2021, he started taking ivermectin, and 10 days later, his cancer markers just plummeted. They were still there, but it plummeted. And then within a month or two, it went down even further, and it just dropped. And by the middle of the summer, it was in the normal range. And of the 25 tumors in his liver, only 3 remained. And he went to live an additional 2 years after that, after he was supposed to have died. Long after he was supposed to have died. And Alderson's wife said his life was definitely extended. And she attributes Alderson's survival because of his success with ivermectin and the chemotherapy drug in combination. Is that ivermectin was actually instrumental in this, and now the research is starting to talk about multiple anti-cancer effects. And the first reports of ivermectin's anti-cancer properties came actually quite some time ago. Now, remember, this is the same drug that the FDA and the CDC and everybody else was talking, hey, you're not a horse, y'all, right? It's all horse paste, that sort of thing. Remember everybody that was crushed and made fun of and mocked? Well, anti-cancer characteristics of ivermectin have been known since 1995. Now, there is a problem with this, though. Ivermectin's cheap. Maybe that's the real issue, is that it's too cheap. Maybe if ivermectin was $1,000 a pill, then it would have more respect. And it has broad impact on the immune system, increasing immune system response against cancers. It also inhibits cancer cycles, according to the research, helping prevent the formation of new cancer cells. It won a 2015 Nobel Prize for anti-parasite benefits. Of course, it saved a lot of people in the world for that. But that was what the lying regime concentrated on. It's a horse paste. It's an anti-parasitic. Yeah, you know something? I know it saved a lot of people here in Southern Oregon. Although doctors are only now starting to admit it, although, like I said, people that I've known had gone to the doctor and said, well, you know, I've been taking ivermectin, it really helped me. And the doctor said, yep, been hearing a lot about that, but can't say anything about it because you know what it is? The regime says there's only one thing, the jab and remdesivir. Wouldn't it be interesting to be able to research how many people actually died needlessly in Southern Oregon because of the lies and the censorship regime? Maybe enough people are standing up that finally the truth will set us free again. I certainly hope so. But anyway, this is a great article in the Epoch Times. Ivermectin could be a powerful drug for fighting cancer. Another great story that I would imagine the system, and certainly Pfizer, doesn't want you to know anything about. Pfizer, Moderna, anybody else. Hey, come on, you're getting in the middle of a racket here. You got to knock it off here. If it's not expensive, it can't be good. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Thought about purchasing a firearm? With background checks now clearing quickly and Measure 114 on hold, it will be business as usual at the Collector's West Gun and Knife Show in Canyonville at the Seven Feathers Casino Resort this weekend. Find new and pre-owned pistols, magazines, rifles, revolvers, knives, ammo, scopes, parts, and all the very best brand names. See CollectorsWest.com for more information. Join Collector's West Saturday and Sunday for the Gun and Knife Show in Canyonville at Seven Feathers Casino Resort. I-5 exit 99, Canyonville.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Rick.
You okay?
Yeah, why?
Well, your wife said you were in quite the fender bender the other day.
Oh, I was. Luckily, no one was hurt.
I heard you smashed in your whole front end.
Yeah, it was scary.
Your whole front end smashed in?
Yeah.
And you were driving this car right here?
Yeah.
The car I'm looking at right now?
Yeah, I know some guys.
Get to know Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. Repair so good, it's like it never happened. On Bullock Road off Crater Lake Highway in Medford.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs around the house get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus. Specializing in small, residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit them at Completed Electric Plus.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
29 after 6, 770-5633. Dr. Tom from Talents here. Hello, Doc. Welcome back. How you doing?
Greetings. Doing okay. You know, sometimes I'm wondering if I'm the only one in Oregon who's upset about the draconian medical fascism that occurred under Kate Brown and the whole Salem legislature and so forth, the draconian mandates, the lockdowns and so forth. All that crap is still in place, and it could happen again tomorrow if the dictators decide that's what we need. And
I don't think you're the only one, Tom.
I feel like it a lot of times because I don't hear anything in the news, and I don't hear anybody talking about Let's put Kate Brown on trial. Let's find out what she knew when she knew it.
You know darn well, though, as satisfying as it would be seeing Kate Brown dancing, doing a tap dance in a illegal attack, the system will protect her. You know that.
Well,
okay.
I know it. That's what I mean. That's what's so disturbing. But and of course the media too, which is also bought up, still owned by the same oligarchs that run everything. But I don't know. I don't hear it too much, even in talk with people and friends and so forth.
Yeah, I think there's kind of it's like a calm before the storm, unless another pandemic ends up coming up, and then they'll be screeching safe and effective at you again and put on your mask, but the one thing I was going to ask you is that. I just want to be clear that you understand this regime very well, because as part of getting your licensing as a doctor of chiropractic, you have to actually take essentially DEI courses through the state. And remember, DEI didn't earn it, okay? Just remember, that's what DEI stands for, okay?
That's certainly correct, Bill. And the wokeism that's pervading not just chiropractic but all the healing professions is just atrocious, just horrible.
And I think that we have to be prepared for
more tyranny.
Well, doing as much as possible, though, to create parallel systems. Direct primary care, as an example, in the medical world is something which I would so recommend for people, if at all possible, getting out of the not having all of your care through the insurance mafia, the insurance medical complex, because
you need balance. You need balance. The healthiest people I see use both alternative and medical. Medical is great for diagnosis and so forth, and you evaluate what they say. But you don't necessarily have to go along with the treatment plan. Sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably saved my life a time or two.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Believe me, but you have to
balance.
Trust your common sense. Yeah, balance. And naturopaths sometimes they're MDs too, but they have bring a different set of toolboxes to you, and are maybe looking at trying to cure the actual cause of something, the source of something, rather than, well, the protocol at the hospital says that I'm supposed to prescribe you this drug. You know, that's really the way things have been changing.
Cookbook medicine.
Yeah, cookbook. That's a perfect description of it. Cookbook medicine. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I am seeing people who have been damaged by the vaccines. Last week was a young woman who's losing her hair and a lot of health problems and so forth from these non-vaccine vaxes. And people need to understand what's going on.
Well, it's becoming more possible to talk about it more openly without being completely shrieked off the planet. Okay. Because you
shrieked at.
Yeah, there are people like, I have a relative here in Southern Oregon, works for a major company here in Southern Oregon, was required to take the jab, otherwise couldn't get it, and now has many numerous neurological problems. And his doctors, multiple doctors, have said, yep, you're vaccine damaged. No doubt about that. Vaccine damaged. And, and he's probably going to be struggling with this the rest of his life, whatever that is, right? And you hear about what's going on, and I'm thinking, I'm just one guy hearing about one guy in my family in just, one part of town. I have a feeling there are many, many more people that we have yet to hear about, Tom, okay? I'm out of time right now, but we'll pick that up another day, though. But I appreciate your thoughtfulness as always, okay?
Sure enough.
All right.
People would listen to the interview between Tucker Carlson and Dr. Pierre Corey of Frontline Doctors.
Yeah, well, I've talked with Corey several times, too. Of course, I don't know if I have that up on the recent podcast, but maybe I'll bring it back, all right? Thanks, Tom. 634 KMED, KCMD. We'll catch up on the rest of what is going on. And the D.C. Swamp update. Oh, my gosh. I think Republicans should probably be ashamed of the spending bill. Maybe I'm being harsh, but... looks like there's an awful lot of DEI didn't earn it getting money that it didn't earn. We'll talk more. Okay?
Joel here at Butler Ford. And if you're looking for a big truck with a small payment, I got you covered. Ford Super Duties are back in stock with lease deals where you can get a Ford F-250 for only $445 a month. For $445 a month, you can now tow and haul with a brand new big shiny F-250. Nobody knows how to make lease deals work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck for a low lease payment like $445 a month on a new Ford F-250. And lease payments are even lower on F-150 and Ford Escapes. Butler says yes to big discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford Super Duty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid, and EV.
42 monthly lease payments is 7,500 miles per year with 97.48 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle with a cap cost of $48,125 unapproved financing through Ford credit. Offer expires 3/31/24.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Asante Foundation is announcing the largest estate gift commitment in its history. $5 million is coming to the foundation from Alan and Susan Bennett, retired medical professionals and local philanthropists. Their name is now included in the new Bennett Family Birth Center in the Olsrud Family Women's and Children's Hospital at Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center. Dr. Alan Bennett delivered nearly 10,000 babies in his career. Then Trails Outdoor School in Ashland is leading the local green economy with their newest source of renewable energy. Students at Trails Outdoor School joined community partners in a ribbon-cutting Wednesday to celebrate the completion of 288 ground-mounted solar panels. Michael Stringer of Truth South Solar says Ashland School District worked with them on this eight-month-long project to offset a portion of their total electricity use. Owner of True South Solar, Eric Hansen, says this project is part of Ashland's Climate and Energy Action Plan, which seeks to reduce local climate pollution emissions. He also says the solar array sets a good example to other communities on how to lower their carbon footprint and electric bill. Mike Freeman of HMK, another community partner in the project, says they're currently working with the Ashland School District to determine more solar sites. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC 5 News. I'm Natalie Serna.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I gotta keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, I kind of like the sound of that this morning, Rick. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. How you doing this morning? Welcome, sir.
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I always love hearing the local news before I come on. Because so many things strike me and kind of crack me up. You had a school that put 240 solar panels.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. I was wondering if you were going to bite on that.
Took 8 months. Uh-huh. That's one solar panel a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's one solar panel a day. You we're going to solve this problem one solar panel a day? You can't. I mean, that's just the.
Rick, all that matters, what really matters, though, is that the children that are in the school, the Trails School, are going, we are the change. We are the change. They will be telling themselves until they graduate and then become environmental science majors and go to work, terrorizing the private sector.
When you get an inch of snow and they can't go to school because there's no electricity. Oh. I'm sure that they're also drawing off the grid when they need it.
Oh yeah.
Which actually is the biggest problem of this whole thing. Hmm. Because you sit there and you put lower use because of, intermittent sources. And then and then guess what? When you don't have those intermittent sources, you put a massive draw on the whole grid. And when that happens, all those dams that you took down, all those nuclear power plants you chose not to build or you tore down, all those coal-fired plants that you tore down, all become really needed, but they aren't there anymore. Because you put solar panels on the roof of your school so you can feel good about yourself.
And it hasn't struck crisis moment yet. They don't realize it. And I can't tell you, Rick, how many people I have talked to that they truly believe they don't understand the physics of it or the electrical aspects of it, the engineering aspects of it. And I do to a greater extent. And I'm not blowing smoke up my, you know, up anyone's rear end. It's just that they say, well, all we have, you know, what's wrong with building lots of rooftop solar? And I said, well, technically nothing, except that, you know, you're thinking, everyone's thinking that somehow this is really going to help the problem. The problem is not trying to generate power in the middle of the day at 12 noon in summer when there's lots and lots of sunshine on it, right? That's not the issue. Right. The problem is that this, kind of, the society is 24/7. And
right.
And right now, the whole goal from Pacific Power is to get you to sign up for time of use pricing, which is why they put in those nice, shiny smart meters a few years ago. Because from 4 till 9, I think it's 4 till 9 at night is what it is the peak usage of the day. And the sun goes down. And a lot of times the wind isn't blowing. And you can't store it. And people say, well, we'll just build batteries. They have no concept. The massive amount of storage that would be needed to power the United States during non-peak, you know, to take the peak power and play it back when you need it, so to speak. It's not like just storing it on a hard drive, you know?
I was curious about this a few years back, so we did a study on it and took a look at the overall grid and some of the challenges. And one of the things that people don't talk about is, if the utility is, you know, they're doing this so they can meet some mandates.
In terms of the roofing. That's what they do.
But if they're not getting the same amount of money that they were getting before, because people are now taking, you know, cutting their bill by having rooftop solar, if they're not getting the same amount of money they're getting before, they still have to maintain the same amount of carrying lines.
Yep. Of infrastructure.
Lines. They have to. They have to maintain all that infrastructure with less money. So you're sitting there and you're looking at it, and the absolute guarantee is that the infrastructure, either the people who don't have solar for whatever reason, are going to end up having to pay a whole lot more because to get the infrastructure built or repaired. Or the infrastructure is not going to get repaired. Now, we know that what happened in Northern California was the infrastructure didn't get repaired.
Nope.
And you end up with massive fires with lots of people losing their lives and entire towns destroyed in rural Northern California. That's what happened when they didn't repair the lines, they didn't do the maintenance. That's what's going to happen is maintenance isn't going to be done. And when those lines burn up because they have too much draw going through them, and you're going to end up with a big fire problem, A, and B, you're going to end up being cut completely off because those lines will no longer be available. They'll no longer work, and the electricity won't flow through them. And you'll still have to have electricity at 9 o'clock at night.
Yep, and they don't quite grok that aspect of it. And the conceit, or I guess it's a conceit really, is that there will always be someone with excess and surplus electrical power that will be willing to sell it to us through the grid, right? That's kind of how they're designing it.
Well, that's I know. Okay, so let's just take this down to their high morality here.
Yeah.
They're the moral ones because they're basically denuding their capacity to take care of their own electricity needs in any given state or locality, okay, who follow this foolishness. So Oregon's moral because they're doing all this stuff for the climate.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get in trouble, they expect immoral states from elsewhere to supply the electricity for them who didn't commit energy suicide.
Immoral states such as, Wyoming, right? That's
Wyoming,
an example.
Right.
Yeah, the Powder River Basin.
Right. So you sit there and you say, okay, well, we're going to depend upon states that we're looked at or knows at because they're not doing this. Well, here's the problem they have. They just came out with the EPA just came out with an electric vehicle mandate that is going as nationwide.
Yeah.
Okay. And by 2032, more than half of the vehicles, autos that are sold in America, according to this regulation, which is final, will have to be electric. Another 15 to 20% will have to be some kind of hybrid or something else.
There will have to be some form of a battery in it, okay? That's really what it comes down to.
And besides the reliance on China for the batteries and all of those problems, the truth is people don't want these cars. it's going to create, just from a grid perspective, Elon Musk says if you have 50% of your cars EVs, you're going to need to have 50% more capacity than we have right now to generate electricity in this country.
We don't have that capacity.
We don't have that capacity. So all those people who are sitting there saying, gee, I'm being moral and I'm driving my EVs and I bought my EV and I've got my solar panels and I'm just the, you know, our community is just doing so well. We're really exceeding goals. 2032, you know what you're not going to have? Any electricity to put into that EV. You're not going to have any electricity to put into you'll be totally dependent upon your solar panels. And it'll be and suddenly you won't have any mobility. And that's how it's designed.
All right. Now, I'm going to take it one step further, Rick. And what this is really about is saving public transit. The liberals that run public transit and Trump and public transit has been failing and going down and down and down for years. I think this is actually a part to force people in the cities. You're going to have to take public transit. You're not going to have your car. I honestly think that's where it's going.
Well, yeah. Well, they'll definitely have to make a decision then that they're going to make public transit a priority recipient of the electricity, because it all runs on electricity. And so at that point, they say, okay, well, We're taking away electricity draw from everywhere else and put it into public transit in Portland. You know, that sounds great if you're somebody who's trying to get around Portland, but not so good if you live anywhere else in the state. But yeah, I don't doubt that. It's just that they're trapped. You know, if you only have X amount of electricity and you're drawing X times two from the grid, you're going to have large sectors of the grid not being served.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, you're talking about mathematics and math, getting the right math product.
I know.
You know, that's racist. Okay, so
I'll
stop it.
Okay, I'm sorry for doing
I know.
That.
I know
it's a terrible thing.
You're talking to Oregon, and someone's going to say, all right, Rick, you're a white guy, and you're using math, and you're expecting us to believe this because, you know, mathematics, which, of course, you know, really from
Aaron. I just know this. I've been talking to a lot of people in different states who are actually energy producing states who aren't crazy. And what I've been suggesting they do, and I'm hoping they will, is create something called a state compact. And what a state compact does is it allows states to come together to try to be able to create something greater than what one state can do. And the state they're very common. They're in the Constitution. It's a very common thing to happen. The state compact I'm suggesting they do is a utility compact. And where they share, because they're not engaged in this stupidity, they share electricity through those states. But if you're not part of the state compact, you don't get to draw electricity.
I like the idea.
And the state compact, part of it is, We're not doing the EV laws. We're telling the federal government, we're suing the federal government and saying, no, we're not doing those things because they're stupid. The thing about the state compact then creates a different opportunity. You know how Intel just got a bunch of money to build some chips up in Portland, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's several billion dollars from what I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of money just got announced. But you know what they're not going to be able to do because of the electricity draw? They're not going to be able to build those chips. They're not going to be able to stay open. The problem is so acute, and the Silicon Valley folks recognize this as being such a big problem that Microsoft, which is obviously up in Washington, not in Silicon Valley, but Microsoft is actually planning to has AI working on a plan to get government regulations thrown aside so they can build a mini nuclear reactor on their plant so they can have their data centers working and keep their data centers working because they have massive electricity draws.
Whoa, that could be a growth industry here now in the state of Oregon, naturally. The citizenry stupidly, like the citizenry stupidly does a lot of, says you can't do nuclear power. But if Microsoft does it, I don't know.
You see, but no, this is for the elites. not for you and me.
Oh.
Microsoft to create data centers, to keep their data centers running, which they will be declared a national security interest because they're putting all of our data into them.
Which means that Amazon will get its nuclear power plant, too.
Amazon will get their nuclear power plant, too.
Intel. Yeah.
Anybody who wants to do that will be able to do it. So it's a while they have all the solar arrays around to look pretty and say, gee whiz, we're responsible. They're actually regenerating their power through something that's reliable, and that's nukes. At least that's what Microsoft is reportedly working on right now in anticipation of what's happening in this country in terms of our electricity grid and the destruction of it, deliberate destruction of it by people who Microsoft supports.
Rick Manning is the president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. You know, Rick, what you're describing, though, is the continuing hollowing out. In fact, I'm thinking one of the best terms I've heard about it is DMV Nation, in which it's like the entire country becomes as effective as the stereotypical DMV shop, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm afraid that we'll wish for that level of effectiveness and efficiency.
So we'll wish for that level of incompetence. All right, great. Can't wait.
We'll look back at that as the good old days.
The good old days when you pulled a little tab and you stood in line for 2 hours. Okay. Anyway, Rick, I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. But have you heard about the latest term about DEI that is spreading like wildfire? And I did not create this, but I love DEI, didn't earn it. Have you heard about that?
I hadn't heard it, but I like it. It's never has a more apt description be given.
So anyway, just make sure and share it with your viewers and your readers and everybody on Daily Torch.
I may give it to Tony Bronco and suggest a tune.
Didn't earn it. It is the best. It's funny. It's mocking. And I'm hoping that if there's one thing that the Marxists hate, it's being mocked, but it's very effective. So let's do it.
Well, they have no sense of humor, so I don't know that they even recognize when they're being mocked. But nonetheless, it's a it's perfectly apt. It's the exact right description. And, you know, maybe someday in a time far, far away, we'll have a Congress that has enough Republicans in it that we can actually get rid of DEI.
This latest spending plan from what I'm seeing here is kind of embarrassing. The amount of woke garbage that's getting funded here. And you're just telling me it's a mathematics problem because you have one vote majority and you can't do much with it?
Yeah.
Is that pretty much it?
One vote majority.
I mean,
that's the problem. So, and the speaker has none of the powers of the speaker. He didn't appoint any of the committee chairs. He didn't appoint the committees. He doesn't have a fundraising arm because that went with McCarthy. So he's got no capacity to politically intimidate people. He's got no capacity to say, you owe me, I put you in that position. And so he's got the nice office, but the only thing power he's really got is the power to try to cajole people into doing what's right. And you know what? He can't get the conservatives to vote for something that doesn't have everything taken out. And he can't get the liberals in the party to vote for something that even has one thing taken out. Mm. So given that, in one vote majority, you do get the best deal you can. It's embarrassingly weak, but it's the best you can with a one vote majority.
Let me ask another question.
Run as a machine.
Kind of concerning about this. Was the biggest mistake made over the last year or so getting rid of McCarthy? For that reason, for all his faults, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and this is not against Johnson. I think Johnson is doing the best that he can with a really crappy hand. He has no cards, okay? McCarthy did have some cards, and yet it was never good enough. And is there a case to be made for that, or am I wrong?
I don't know that the outcomes would have been different with McCarthy.
Oh.
I don't know that. McCarthy did have more power than Johnson has.
And he was a monster fundraiser, right, too, which gave him leverage.
Right. Well, but gave him leverage largely against the conservatives.
Oh.
Because he didn't fundraise to elect conservatives. He fundraised to beat them in primaries. Which is where his money's going now. I think that the value of, first of all, I agree with the basic premise. Wasting the time for basically a temper tantrum by a few members was a tremendous, without having a plan for how to move forward, was short-sighted. I'll put it that way. And so I never supported that, even though I had lots of problems with McCarthy. But I think the one thing that Johnson's done that hasn't, that McCarthy might not have, I think bringing the college professors in front of the committee and holding them accountable and causing two college professors to our college presidents to have to be fired because of their defense of racist policies and their antipathy towards Jewish people. That is I think that wouldn't have happened under McCarthy. I think that a lot of the committee work where they're actually doing hearings and getting to the bottom of stuff probably wouldn't happen under McCarthy. And just from Americans for Limited Government perspective, I've got a far better relationship with Johnson's speakership than I do with McCarthy.
Is there a case to be made then that there's more of a, I mean, you may laugh and throw up in your mouth a little bit when I say this, is there more of a moral compass with the GOP under Johnson?
Certainly, there's more of a moral compass with Johnson, but yeah. I don't know that the GOP is following him.
Oh,
all right. What I think is true is the speaker does have the capacity to set certain priorities, and the priorities that are going to be set under Johnson, are going to be more conservative than the priorities that would have been set under McCarthy. But the fact of the matter is everybody's in election mode now, and they've got less than 6 months before the election. And what none of these guys seem to understand is the only thing that matters in their own election in the swing districts is whether Donald Trump does well or not. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's going to matter. They're going to win a majority back if Donald Trump does well. They're not going to win a majority if he loses. And that's the entire political ballgame. And the left understands that. But, we sit there, we've got the, senators sitting there saying, well, I'm not voting for Trump. Not understanding by saying that, they're encouraging people to effectively defect from having Republicans.
Yeah, they're acting as if somehow they're immune from a lack of enthusiasm for reelecting them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, remember, senators have the advantage of only being elected every 6 years, so that, they have to, they're conservative 1 year out of six. And unfortunately, there's only 30.
Yeah, you win the interwebs with that one. They're conservative 1 year out of six. I love that. I love that.
So anyway,
Speaking of Trump, though, let me just, before we take off, Rick, speaking of former President Trump, I noticed that there was a story in the Oregon Live, and he didn't put a statement in the Oregon voters pamphlet. He's not going to be in the Oregon voters pamphlet this time. I know it cost about, $3,000-$4,000, to do that. You write 325 words. And I don't know if that means that he just figures that he's got Oregon in the bag, I'm not going to spend any money, or that the Trump campaign, despite being very popular and polling so well, is just, looking at what's happening with Don's private finances and things like that, and it's just really creaky. What do you think?
I don't know. My suspicion is this. The campaign is incurring a tremendous amount of legal costs that you would never anticipate in a campaign. The legal costs are around various legal attacks on the candidate. And as a result, so I think the campaign is taking up many of those legal costs. It is they have to set up some special ways of doing it. But the fact is, if the campaign makes the determination, they have to defend this in court, but if they make the determination that these legal attacks are in fact attacks based on the political campaign and would not have existed if not for the political campaign, then you have a legitimate role in funding defense against some of those legal attacks. I don't know. Sometimes the simplest solution is the easiest one, and that is somebody messed up.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's kind of Occam's law, but You know, it could be money, but if you can't afford $4,000 for an Oregon voter pamphlet, then there's and that would be for the primary, right?
Yeah, just for the primary. Well, he's got it in the bag. You know, there's no, you know, he's got it. Well, maybe that's part of it.
Well, maybe it is. It's, I know that there's, if I were facing a $460 million judgment just to be able to appeal it, I might be cutting corners some places.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just concerned about this. And that judgment, by the way, that is the most evil, most politically bloodthirsty move that I have seen. And as far as I'm concerned, if New York City finance just crashes and burns, you know, after this, because, you know, what business realizes that they couldn't be prosecuted for whatever reason, just because
They're going to. I mean, they just basically put a gun to their head with, you know, and played Russian roulette, but forgot to leave any of the chambers empty. Mm-hmm. It's so that's what they've done to their economy. But if I were an enterprising conservative governor, I would escalate my number of people who are coming to my state illegally, their transit to New York City. I would overwhelm them with every illegal who shows up across our border.
Cloward piven them right back, right?
And have them and say, you know what? This is what you want. You want to be this way? You eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a, you know, so if they think the few that they've gotten from Greg Abbott are more than they can handle, I'd give them 10 times and say, you know, and oh, by the way, the Republicans in Congress cannot provide them funds. Under no circumstance, no emergency funds for New York, Chicago, or any of these states, any of these cities that are doing this.
You wanted that, you can suck on it, okay?
You want it, and mm-hmm. so get your, you know, you go and, you know, raise taxes on your own people if you want, because this is a policy you wanted, and you chose to break down your entire legal system for political purposes. You ended your legal system.
I know, but I'm looking at financiers like Shark Tank types and everything else that are saying get out of New York because there's too much political risk there. You have political risk to your business there now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and given the fact that, you know, one thing that they learned through the pandemic is all those wealthy people who are working in those tall buildings mm-hmm. prefer to be in Florida, where there's zero income tax.
Yeah.
And they could do their work remotely. And so you're going to see a lot of Wall Street move because the very thing of saying we took the valuation, it didn't meet the valuation that we set up. It was totally foreign from what the bank set up. It tells you that every single loser in a transaction on Wall Street could run a class action suit against the Wall Street firm in New York City for under consumer finance, consumer protection, and say, oh, it was misrepresented or whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
You just tie people up. You got to get out.
Well, yep.
All right. The other thing I certainly would not
economy.
And the other thing I would not want to be is financially exposed to New York commercial real estate. And that'll be a conversation for another time. Okay. All right. Rick, I appreciate the call as always. DailyTorch.com. We'll catch you next Friday. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Take care.